the Business Beat on 90.5 WICN. My name is David Ginsberg, and I'm excited to welcome someone who is doing something I guarantee you I will never do. Bill Murphy is running 7 marathons in 7 days and 7 continents. We're going to talk more about that in a moment, but first, welcome to the show, Bill Murphy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave. Really appreciate it.
So, Bill, just to set a stage for the WISN listeners on today with us, you are, by in your day job at least, you're a mortgage originator at Fairway Mortgage in Auburn. Been in business 25 years and done a sizable amount of business over the years. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
All right. What led you to go from your day job into running marathons? And then I know you've done ultra marathons and Ironmans. What led you to pursue those endeavors?
Yeah, Dave. I mean, I've always been a sports enthusiast, just never endurance stuff. And then, just more of a gym guy. And grew up playing, baseball, football, hockey, and coached my kids in sports. And then, as I got a little older, I started running a little bit, loved it, got into martial arts, and then started doing some endurance races. It started with marathons, and that was back in 2008 was my first marathon. I was 37 years old, and haven't looked back.
It's awesome. It's when people first start running, I've run a fair amount in the past, and when people first start running, it's they think they can't do it or it's tiresome, and a lot of times that first half mile or so sort of sucks, and then you get into a groove and you realize, especially once you figure out what your stride is, it becomes a pretty pleasurable experience. Did you start out running or attempting to run distances, or was it, let me take a go for a couple of miles and see how I do?
No, I never even did a 5K. I mean, I would just run on a treadmill for a little bit as part of my weight training programs or athletic training. Yeah. But it was never distances. And when I decided to run, I decided to run a marathon, and that was with four months of training, and that was a Boston Marathon. And I pulled up a Runner's World 16-week guide to getting ready for a marathon and started following the program and said, I will never do this again. And what I realized during that process, as I said, I would never do it again when I did it, that these epiphanies, these ideas, that runner's high is a real thing, the endorphins, the adrenaline that you get when you're on these long-distance runs and the solutions to problems and just things that were just slow to me. And I was like, wait a second, there's some benefit here if I can just get in that zone. So that's how it's a real thing. And when you mentioned, some people don't like to run and some people, it's not important enough to them. So when someone says, I could never run that marathon, or I could never do that half marathon, I could never do that 5K, it's more, is it you could never do it or you don't want to do it? Because it's not, if you're inspired and motivated by doing it, but it's not important to you, you won't do it. But if there's an importance, if there's a meaning, if there's a purpose behind it, then you'll start to do it. So then, yes, it does become painful. Yes, it's like anything else that you try out. You're gonna go through the discomfort phase in the beginning, and once you get through that, and if you like it and it's important enough to you, you can hang on.
For sure. And I think that is an essential point, and we'll talk about your book more in a moment, but I think it ties back to a book you've written called Thriving in the Storm, 9 Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity. And that fundamentally, if you tell yourself that you can't do something, you're probably not going to. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, where if you keep an open mindset of I'm going to do this much today, I'm going to try and do this much more tomorrow, then you will more than likely make gains and achieve that goal.
100%. And you have to attach meaning to it. So, some of the things that most of the things that I do, the reason I ended up doing that Boston Marathon is I did it for charity. And that was my meaning. And so as much as I wanted to quit because it did feel arduous, it did feel painful, it did feel like something that I didn't want to get into, mm-hmm. I was like, wait a second, I committed to charity. So I'm going to fulfill that.
For sure. And your charity that you run for is Make-A-Wish. And I know you've raised a ton of money for Make-A-Wish over the years already. Why Make-A-Wish? What was it about this organization that was so important to you?
Yeah, well, I started running it with Dana Farber. And then because Make-A-Wish didn't have any bibs in Boston back then when I started running. But since then, I've been doing quite a bit for Make-A-Wish. But Make-A-Wish started in 2006. So it actually started when... I was in the mortgage business for at that point, 8 years, and started to just have, you know, I really had a passion for helping my clients, had a passion for, you know, helping people achieve the American dream with financing their homes. And just, it was really a natural fit for me. But I was like, wait a second, there's got to be more. There's got to be something to giving back. And, you know, I'm having some individual success, but how can I make an impact other than what I'm doing, writing mortgages and writing loans? And that was, you know, I was working for Fairway Independent Mortgage, and I still am, you know, 17 years later. And I said, let's do this in 2006. Let's donate a portion of proceeds for every single loan we close. And since 2006, we've donated to Make-A-Wish every single month on behalf of our clients. And what that led to was our clients getting on board. We've had a lot of client appreciation events in support of Make-A-Wish. We've had 5Ks. We've had, you know, we've done some, run some other races, some challenges to raise some money, raise some awareness. A lot of our clients just attended some of our fundraisers that we just had this past weekend. So it's just, it was really nice to attach our business to the community and something that, you know, they're really passionate about, not just individual business success, but let's impact the world a little bit here.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when you're able to help, you know, I don't want to turn this to a whole political thing, but historically in this country, when business people have done well, they have given back to the communities that serve them. And in a variety of ways. And that sounds exactly like what you've done here with Make-A-Wish. And I applaud you for the effort to do this month over 17 years, 18 years. That's quite an extraordinary accomplishment. And especially, I would imagine in those days in 2006, I'm old as well. I can remember in 2006 was the height of the home buying frenzy. Mortgage rates were through the floor. Everyone was getting approved. It must have been just a wild time. This is before the crash in 08. That must have been a wild time in the business.
Yeah, yeah. That's when that was the beginning. It was about 2007 when a lot of the big conglomerates were just too big to fail. The banks were too big to fail, and they started going under.
Yeah.
And I was on the edge of my seat every day. It was kind of funny. You know, our own company, we were struggling at the time, and you know, they said, "Hey, Bill, we really got to cut expenses." And that actually came up, and they said, "Well, what about this charity that you're doing? Is this necessary?" And I was like, "Hey, let's cut other places. We're not cutting our donations. We're not cutting what we're doing here with Make-A-Wish." And that was actually a real conversation, you know, back in 2008.
Yeah.
And so we've maintained it. We haven't skipped any time.
It's phenomenal. And through all the eras, you know, now obviously mortgage rates being what they are, and we can talk about that in a bit, but because I do think that would be of interest to the audience, but in all of the years of being in the business and the ups and downs of the market and the economy, to make those monthly donations to support an organization like that is extraordinary. And I say that not only as the host of Business Beat, but as the general manager of WICN, as a nonprofit radio station, we are acutely aware of the importance of people that donate month over month. We call them sustaining memberships. It's a crucially important part of any nonprofit's business. And so thank you for doing what you do in that regard. It's an amazing thing. And you've become a public speaker and a sales leader, and I want to talk to you because you're also an author, and you wrote a book called Thriving in the Storm, 9 Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity. It's available online at barnesandnoble.com, I'm sure other online book retailers and in stores. Tell us about the book. What prompted you to write a book?
Yeah, so, you know, I just felt like just a regular everyday guy that, you know, scratched at some success here and there, and was able to, it was all through grind, grit. There was nothing sexy. There was nothing, it wasn't talent, right?
Yeah.
So it was more just putting in the work, being the first one there, being the last one to leave, and just anything we did. So, when I wrote the book in 2019, I did the Boston Marathon. It was like my third marathon, right? And so I was, really upset with myself because I didn't really take it that seriously. I put the training in, but I didn't do anything else seriously. I didn't really watch my nutrition, my fueling on the course. I didn't really do the things that I needed to do correctly to do that. And so I was so upset with myself. I was like, you know what? I was like, I don't know how I struggle to do this marathon because I wasn't prepared. But how about these Ironman? Like, how is that even possible? They do a marathon after they've swam 2.4 miles, after they've biked 112 miles. How is that possible? So, So there's, you know, there's something more to the more to what we're all capable of. So I decided right then and there, after, you know, that night of finishing the marathon, being upset with myself, that I was going to research what it would take to get an Ironman done. And I, you know, I started seeking out coaches. I started looking online, and everybody said, you need a year, you need 2 years. Coaches wouldn't even accept me. And then I was like, all right, I found somebody that was going to do it, and we declared that we're going to do an Ironman in 6 months. So that was the Boston Marathon in 2019 was in April, Patriots Day, of course, where it is every day, yep. Where it is every year. And then we did the Florida Ironman in Panama City in 2019, and I finished, and it was a lot of dark moments. But I said, you know what, we are so much more capable than we ever thought possible, because I thought anyone that did an Ironman was a freak athlete, or they were just like they weren't normal.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, hey, listen, I'm a regular guy. You know, I grind it out and I work hard, and that's my gift. But it's not. I didn't know what I was doing, and just put the work in, follow the program, didn't miss a day, and we finished. So I wrote the book based on that. But then what came of it was, you know, when we. There, you know, the mentality, the mindset of thriving in a storm is about the three mindsets, three mentalities, and it's victimization, it's survival, and it's thriving. And when we're in victim mode, what happens is we stay down and out, and we give ourselves excuses to stay down and out. We pull the cover over our heads. We don't go to work. We don't, or we go in late, or we're in a bad mood, or we don't change it. And those are usually feelings of. Like, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling sad, I'm upset, I'm revengeful, I'm hostile, I'm angry, whatever, depressed, despair, whatever it is. And then we give ourselves those reasons not to do anything. So part of the book was, let's get out of those emotions as fast as we possibly can, so we can accomplish great things and do things that we never thought we were capable of. Because if we have that mindset, if we have those emotions and we're attached to those emotions, we're going to stay down and out longer, and we'll never, ever do more than the average, right? So mm-hmm. You want to say things, get to a high level. And, like, we go through life every day, and people are – so the next level is you get out of victimization or victim mode, and then you go to survival, right? So, I mean, you could walk down the street and say hi to some people, and, you know, you'll hear someone – almost always say, hey, how are you doing? And they'll say, surviving.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's okay and that's normal. It's not okay and normal to just be surviving, because that's a pretty rough way to go through life if you're only surviving.
Right.
How about living the good life and doing things that you want to do? And then, you know, that's where, you know, you send those emotions to, you know, the thriving emotions, where you can create with enthusiasm and joy and love and happiness and peace and zest for life. And that's where you can start doing a lot of great things and doing more than you ever thought capable. You can't create when you're down and out. You can't create when you're angry. You just can't. But you can create when you're feeling lots of love. You can create when you're feeling happiness and joy. And so where you're going to say, well, that's easy for you to say, you did it. Well, you know, it is, but where you can start and start to change your physiology and start to change those emotions is when you are down and out, just be thankful for the things that you have in your life. Be thankful for your health. Be thankful for your kids. Be thankful for your significant other. Be thankful for your career. I mean, if you start there, that's free. You know, that right. stuff is free, and it can change your physiology. The other thing you do to change your physiology from going from victimization to thriving is just go help somebody somewhere else where they are. You know, if you can't get unstuck, go help somebody somewhere else. And that's part of the giving back. You know, when we talk about, you know, individual success, go help someone else be successful. Go help someone else get unstuck. And you know what? That'll come back to you. You'll feel those feelings. They'll get transferred to you, and you'll be able to move on out of your state, you know, your lower state.
Without question, Bill, I think it's such a great point. And I've studied a lot of mental health stuff. I've been a student of Stoic philosophy for a long time, and there's a relationship to what you're talking about in Stoicism, which is Stoicism comes down to we can't control the things that happen to us, but we can control how we react to them, and we can control our own behaviors and actions, and applying that is, you know, more difficult than it is to say, but it is certainly doable. And that notion of giving back, giving of yourself to someone else when you're in a low moment is a brilliant way to bring yourself back from that brink, because part of it is you simply get out of your own head and put the focus on another being. And you also recognize that most things that seem acute in the moment tend not to be in the long run. And being able to manage through those emotions, as you wrote about in the book, is so critical to that. And I think you make a great point at the beginning of that, in that it's the grind. It's just showing up and putting the work in day in and day out. That's how you accomplish things and get places, and just having the discipline to do so. And I want to talk more about that as it applies to running and training. And we are going to do that in just a moment here at 90.5 WICN.